Almost 2 weeks have passed since the events at Cape Citadel. The team, now calling themselves the X-Men, have trained feverishly since that incident. But now their professor has finally completed something that will take that training to the next level.
My students, welcome to the Danger Room.
The team stand at the threshold of a large room. It is a technological marvel. Lights blink on the segmented walls, floor, and ceiling. A humming seems to emanate from every surface.
Wow.
Nice work, Hank.
Why, thank you, Scott.
You really are a boy genius, aren't you? Sure that isn't a second mutation?
Not all gifts are genetic, Warren.
So it's a big fancy room, but what does it do? And why are we in uniform?
I'll be outside. Henry, if you would do the honors.
Of course, Professor. Danger Room. Training program B1, level 3. Play when ready.
Activated.
Oh my.
Whoa, turrets, swing claws, this is so cool. They're gonna attack us, aren't they?
Think fast, team.
This is so not like public school.
As the week goes on, the training continues, both of the team and of the individual.
Bobby, at present your power is limited to manipulating water into ice. But I sense that you can do more.
Like what?
I believe that you can also use the moisture in the air. Perhaps even make the ice yourself from within your own body.
Really?
Well, let's give it a try. As you can see, there is no water in this room. Now, freeze that turret.
But...
focus, Bobby.
Okay. See? Nothing!
Perhaps you need some incentive.
Wait a minute. Professor!
Suddenly, the Danger Room turret targets and fires.
Simulation off.
I didn't stop it in time. If that had been real...
True, Bobby. But it wasn't. And you proved that you can do more. With practice.
The professor's training now moves away from the Danger Room to the wide open sky above the large mansion.
Warren, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you see me?
No.
Try and focus on me. Along with your flight, your mutation also gave you the eyes of a hawk. You just don't know how to use them.
Can I fly closer?
No.
Okay, I'll try. Wait, I think I see you. You're blurry, but...
that's a start.
The next train, the one his friends call Beast, moves with ease over and under and around the machine parts and defenses of the Danger Room.
Good, Hank. Good. Your agility increases every day. Now, just watch out for that...
let's try that again, shall we?
Danger Room, reset.
A red glow penetrates the darkened room as it strikes a series of targets.
Scott, you're holding back. Why?
I guess I'm used to it. Before you gave me this visor, my glasses... opening my eyes meant people got hurt. Things got destroyed.
This is merely a simulation, Scott. Out there, holding back may get you killed.
Yes, sir.
Now, try again. Full blast.
Voices are heard above the sound of machinery strained to its limits.
Very good, Gene. You are holding back 3 tons of pressure from that jackhammer.
Really feels more like 50.
Just a few more seconds.
Can't we just go back to the precision training?
One more. And done. Danger room, power down. Well, let's call it a day, shall we?
No, Dad. Yeah, I know, but I really like it here. I guess. Well, you said it was okay. Yeah, fine. Yeah. Yeah, I will. Okay. Say hi to Mum for me. Yeah, thanks. Hey, Jean. Oh, sorry. My dad called.
Yeah, I heard. They do know what this school is, right?
That we dress up in yellow and black outfits to fight guys in capes throwing tanks at us? No. No, he doesn't.
You know what I mean, Warren. Does he know about the training?
Well, kinda.
Kinda?
Well, when the professor turned up, my dad threatened to throw him out. Kept calling him Captain Eyebrows. No son of mine is going to any freak school. But a quick bit of persuasion later and my dad was writing the check. Had my maid pack my bags.
And that doesn't bother you?
No. I would have just ended up at some prep school anyway. Besides, I like it here. Here I can walk around with my wings out. You have no idea what it was like to have them tied back all day. It's like having your arms tied behind your back.
Yeah, you and Scott definitely have it worse than the rest of us.
I think I win that one. Soldier boy's sunglasses can pass in public. Angel wings, not so much. And don't even get me started on excuses when dating.
Well, you don't have to hide them here. You could date whoever you wanted.
I guess I could.
Watching from the hall as Warren and Jean chat over snacks in the kitchen, Scott Summers' face does not betray his feelings.
Hey, Scott, wanna go shoot hoops? What are you doing lurking in the hallway? Oh, I see.
Nothing. I was just passing and...
Jealous, my monocular friend?
No, of course not.
Hey, your business is your own. But if you like her, then maybe you should tell.
Why don't you mind your own business, okay, Beast Boy?
I guess he doesn't want to play.
Hank and Bobby continue into the kitchen.
What about you two? Up for playing on the court? If you can tear yourselves away from each other for a few shots. In any case, four of us would make it a game.
I'm fine, thanks.
You two go on ahead.
Fine. See you later, losers.
Bye, Bobby, Hank.
Can we use powers?
No.
Oh, why?
Because, my temperature-challenged friend, I would handedly beat you.
You would so not. You forget that the pool is right next to the court. Ever try playing on a frozen beanball court?
In the privacy of his study, the professor winds himself down, looking over essays on Shakespeare's Twelfth Night as, in the background, the news of the world plays on the television. In the background, that is, until one story piques his interest.
And again, our top story. Over $1 million vanished today from the North Community Bank in Chicago. This is the third reported heist of this nature to occur over the last 2 weeks. And until today, we had no answer. We now go to Jack Kirby, already on the scene. Jack.
Yes, a mystery indeed. Behind me is a vault that once held over $4 million in cash. Now it holds only three. No one held at gunpoint, no masked man entered, no locks were picked. In fact, this vault was never even opened. Somehow, as in the two other cases, the thief got inside and out again with as much cash as he or she could carry. The CSI teams were stumped until they discovered this footage. Look closely. We had to slow the footage down to almost 1/10 speed to even see it. And there, in the center of the screen, a flash of light, and the money is gone. At first, the police assumed some sort of machine was responsible. However, if we slow the footage down even more, you can see, in the center of the flash, the figure of a man, presumably the thief. This, along with the recent attack on Cape Citadel by so-called mutants has led the authorities to only one conclusion. The thief is a mutant who the team on the case is calling the Vanisher.
A mutant?
To me, my X-Men, we have a new problem.
Moments later.
So what do you want us to do about it, Prof?
Yeah, I mean, we can't be the mutant police force, can we?
Not worldwide, but perhaps in cases like this, that is exactly what is needed. As with the confrontation with Magneto, the world needs to know that a group like ours exists. That our race as a whole are not just looking to use their powers for personal gain.
You want us to track him down, Professor?
If possible. Perhaps even convince him to join us.
Join us?
You forget that you were all once very much the same. I remember a Hank McCoy who was using his gifts to score record touchdowns until people noticed his extraordinarily large feet.
Point taken.
Magneto was beyond help. But I feel like we owe it to the rest of the world's mutants to give them the chance that you were all given. And if we do nothing, then I fear that this situation will only get worse until we find ourselves in a world that fears and hates us.
Any idea who he could be?
There was a young mutant I once tracked in Germany with similar powers. But he would not hurt a fly, and his appearance was far more unusual than what the CCTV cameras caught.
So how do we find him?
Cerebro.
What?
A new device I have just brought online. It will allow me to use my mutant powers to find any mutant on the planet.
But you don't know what you're looking for.
I just need to look for someone who doesn't stay in the same place for too long.
Xavier makes his way over to a wall at the side of his study. The press of a button and a retina scan confirm his identity, causing the entire wall to give way to a console. On the console rests a strange helmet, designed as though to fit Xavier's own head. He picks it up and places it there.
Are you sure it's ready for this? I think a test would be in order first.
Hank, please. I'm trying to concentrate.
Yes, sir.
Can anyone use this, or just him?
It can only be operated by those with telepathic powers.
So no one can use it but him.
Well, unless we find another telepath.
I have him. He's in Washington. What is he planning?
All right, guys, let's go.
I'll get the new helicopter ready.
I won't be coming with you on this one.
What?
I was nothing but a hindrance to you all last time. In the field, you cannot afford any liability. Especially me.
With all due respect, sir, the only reason we didn't beat Magneto in the first 10 seconds was because of his helmet. As far as we know, this guy doesn't have anything like that.
Yeah, you could brainwash the guy before he knows what's happening.
I would not use my gifts so liberally. Were I to do so, I would be no better than Eric.
Yeah, I guess. Sorry.
But you are right. I will come. This time. If only to ensure your safety.
Washington, D.C., 11:31 p.m. Inside the First National Bank, its filled vault remains empty. Silent. A silence that will not last.
I really need to start bringing a bigger bag.
The Vanisher's voice trails off, as standing with him now at his extraction point behind the bank are the uncanny X-Men.
Who are you? You saw nothing.
We saw everything. We know everything. Now, Mr. Porter, I think we should talk.
Get bent.
Son of a...
I have a lock on him. It's faint, but I think I can track him to wherever he's...
Freeze! Hands in the air!
Want me to...
No, Jean. I will handle this.
The X-Men look on in amazement as the flashes of the red and blue lights get slower and slower until no longer moving. The world around them, frozen.
Whoa! How did you...
They will have no memory of this meeting. Mr. Porter is in an apartment downtown. Let's go.
You know, he really scares me sometimes.
Across town, A normal and unassuming apartment houses the wanted fugitive.
Freaking weird old man with his costume kids. It don't really matter. I have all the money I could ever hope for. Then again.
Porter looks over to his table. On it lies detailed defense plans, designs of military weaponry, and the Pentagon itself.
You can never have enough.
The man known as the Vanisher begins to make his plans. He turns to his computer, switches on its webcam and records. As he speaks, his image and voice are diffused in a garbled message on the screen.
Hey there, Pentagon. Seems like I have a few things of yours. As you know by now, I can pretty much get anywhere I want before you even realize I'm there. And in your case, I already have. Robbing banks was just the start. This is how powerful I really am. Those missing plans of yours, yeah, I have them. And I have the digital backups, in case you have some way of tracking it. Not that you haven't tried. If you want them back, I want $3 billion.
That's a little much, don't you think?
What?
I did wonder why you were in Washington.
You do know they will just change all those plans and things, right?
How did you get in here? How did you find me?
Because we are like you, and I can help you after you return all the money you have stolen.
Like hell.
Scott?
What? He was going to bail again.
This is your idea of helping me.
Watch out, he has a gun.
I'll take that, thank you.
Ah, what? What are you doing?
Holding you still, but I can't. Bobby?
Way ahead of you, Marvel Girl.
Having been held up in the air by Jean, the Vanisher now finds himself frozen to the floor by Iceman.
Whoa, that is so much harder than using running water. He got out!
Yes, but he's weak. He was only able to get to the street. I am cutting him off from his power, but it won't last. Angel, after him.
Told you.
Aye, sir.
Unable to teleport, the Vanisher now runs as fast as he can down the street, breathing heavily from both fatigue and panic, attempting to escape as behind him, the Angel soars in.
We just want to talk.
Get away from me.
Angel dives down onto the Vanisher, tackling him to the street. Vanisher tries to bring up a punch, but Angel avoids it and tries to pin him down. However, a headbutt to the face allows Porter to kick Warren away.
I have him.
The boy known as Beast now gallops along the street on all fours. As he gets close, he leaps up and onto the back of Vanisher, driving him down into the pavement and pinning him there. A few onlookers have noticed all of this and call out in terror, some calling the police, some running for their lives.
I got you. You're not going anywhere, Porter.
How are you so strong?
I work out.
We have to end this, Hank. The cops will be here soon.
Indeed. Let him up, Hank. Now, Mr. Porter, don't try to...
Help! Help! Get these people away from me.
Cyclops.
With pleasure.
Everything's frozen again.
We need a moment. Now, Mr. Porter, let's go back to my school. A school for mutants like you. Like us.
I don't want to join no school. I don't want to be like that scary caked guy on TV. I just want to be rich.
But how much is enough? When will your crime spree stop? 1 billion? 3 billion? How many countries will you hold ransom until you have enough?
That has nothing to do with you, you crippled old freak.
Let's go to my school.
I'm not going anywhere. And soon, as you let your guard down, I will be gone. I can do whatever I want. And you can't stop me.
Just listen to reason.
I said, get away from me. Now.
I see. Then I have no choice. I cannot let your actions continue. Too much is at stake.
Moments later.
Where am I? Who are you?
Professor, what did you do?
I have reached into his mind. He now has no memory of the last few weeks, how to use his power, or even that he is a mutant. His powers will never manifest again.
Oh.
Warren looks over at Jean with wide eyes. All she can do is nod back in understanding.
I have also erased myself from the memories of the crowd. All they saw was the X-Men taking down a wanted criminal. Now, let's go home.
The rest of the team barely speak as they return to their helicopter and begin to fly back to New York.
But, Prof, I
know, Bobby. I'm a telepath, remember? I will not go out into the field again. This was the last time. Doing what I did cannot be done again. Next time you will have to find another solution. And I tire of having to erase myself from onlookers.
But you would never do that to any of us. Right?
Of course not. It is only a last resort.
The group sit in silence for the rest of the journey. But of all of them, Jean is the one who looks the most unnerved, as though this has all reminded her of something. She decides to forget it.
Not gonna lie, folks. Getting tired of him doing this for us.
You heard him, Bobby. It won't happen again.
Good. I find myself beginning to question our purpose here.
Yeah.
At any rate, who's up for a game on the court?
Now?
Why not? We need to unwind.
Sure. Why not?
Sounds good to me.
Scott?
I don't know. I'm tired. I might...
We can use powers.
Really?
Sure. But only if you promise to keep that thing on low.
To hell with it. Sure.
Great. Power's free. Apart from Jean.
What? That's not fair. Why?
Do I really have to explain why, Jean?
I'm still not great at moving things.
Tell that to the Vanisher.
Xavier hears the laughter of his students as they play. Sitting solemnly in his study, he wrestles with his own thoughts, his morals. But he is not as alone as he thinks.
What?
Did you really think I'd forgotten where you live, Charles?
Eric.
Say anything. Call anyone. Even in your mind. And I will send you hurtling through that window in your chair. And end the lives of all your students next.
I thought you were trying to help mutants.
I am. That is why I'm here. I came to tell you to stay away. I wasn't able to fight you and your students alone at the military base. But I'm not alone anymore.
What? You're building a team?
An army. It grows by the day. And soon all mutants will join me as brothers in arms against the oppressors, the obsolete. Vanisher would have been perfect if you hadn't scrambled his brain.
It doesn't have to be this way, Eric.
You know it does, Charles. I didn't come here to have the same pointless debate. It's clear you will never see past your rose-tinted spectacles and see the world for what it truly is.
What you think it truly is.
End this foolishness, Charles. Join me. Together our combined teams would be unstoppable.
Like you said, you know that won't happen.
With you, maybe. But when your young ones see that their only choice is joining my cause or death, I doubt they will choose the latter.
I won't let it come to that. And even if it does,
They wouldn't.
You know that, do you?
You preach your edict, and yet in all your talk of a united mutant kind, you threaten to kill them.
F5, 6 must be killed to usher in the new age of all mutant kind. And that is a price I'm willing to pay.
And that is why they will never join you.
Stay away, Charles. Stay out of my affairs, and I will create a new world for us. The world the way it was meant to be. Then I will even let you join it. No charge. No blood in your students' hands. Or yours.
Goodbye, Eric.
Farewell, Charles. For now. Oh, and Charles, if I do see you, one of your students, standing in my way, remember, I know where you live.
At this very moment, at a top secret military prison across state.
You hear about that Vanisher guy?
No, they caught him?
Yeah, out in the streets of D.C. Guy went cuckoo after some other mutants attacked him. Started wandering the streets, says he didn't know where he was or how he got there.
For real? Man.
What? What's happening?
Stasis Chamber 9 is offline. It's been breached.
Control to maximum security. What the hell is going on down there?
We don't know! Thing just shut down. We can't get it working again. The prisoner's waking up!
Which prisoner?
Marco! Kane Marco!
Oh no.
Lock it down, now!
No. Oh god, no!
What? Maximum, repeat last. What is going on down there? Someone talk to me!
Sorry. They're not here. Can I take a message?
Who's this?
Name's Marco. But you can call me the Juggernaut.
X-Men Season 1 is a production of Scyther, Inc. Podcasts. For more, go to our Facebook page by searching for X-Men Audio Drama on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Scyther, Inc. Productions. Next time, the Unstoppable Juggernaut.